KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, what would it sound like to set the internet to music? That's in essence what Paul Miller, a.k.a. DJ Spooky, has done in a new show premiering in San Francisco tomorrow called Quantopia. We learn more. Then at 9:30, that viral video involving Catholic high school students and a Native American activist. It's become a national controversy with multiple layers. We'll talk with an expert in political psychology. And after seeing it all play out this past week, we want to know, where are you at with it? Join us next on Forum after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. What you're listening to is music by Paul Miller, best known as DJ Spooky, for his new show commissioned by the Internet Archive called Quantopia, The Evolution of the Internet. Well, Paul Miller, welcome to Forum.
Hey, thanks. It's a beautiful day here in California. I just got here from New York, so we're having a cold, like another polar vortex.
So you're being treated to some nice weather from us. You know, before we dive into what Quantopia is all about, just that piece and that iconic sound of a modem that we had to dial into to get to the internet. How did you put this piece together?
Well, the internet, as we know it, has basically has an acoustic signature for like the time when I was growing up in the ancient 90s. So the sound of that modem is kind of like, you know, the dial-up, and it's just calculating and then sending a series of packets to just trigger the network to respond. So when you say how do I, it's one of those things with DJing, you always play with something that's familiar, like you take an old James Brown record or Parliament Funkadelic. But for us, it's the modem of the 90s for this particular project. And so I ended up breaking it apart, editing it, and making kind of a hip-hop track out of it. So I'm going to be scratching and doing other stuff with it.
And it's a great starting point considering that your show, Quantopia, is the evolution of the internet. Can you say a little bit about the name, Quantopia? How did you come up with that? What does it mean?
Sure. Okay. So I think that right now, as we move into 2019 and beyond, we're getting deeper and deeper into a kind of a data-driven society. So data, as we know it, is kind of made of, you know, kind of quantification and measurement. And so the fun part about that is that everything is numbers. If you really think about, like, your heartbeat, the blood going through your body, you name it. So the fun part about thinking about quantification is that we can easily start measuring how much data is around us and so on. So that's one thing, quantified. And then utopia was kind of a pun about the place of no place. It's a very famous historical term from Plato's Republic and this idea of utopia as a kind of a place where you can have sort of an ideal sense of governance. So the fun part about DJ culture is that you can play with old records. And so I call it the quantified utopia, playing with these fragments of sort of potentiality. And when you look at electronic music right now, so much of it's like hip-hop, house, techno, dubstep, all these major styles. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do something that's a little bit more conceptual and play with data itself because the internet is, of course, just a huge form of data.
Well, then how do you think putting the internet to music essentially contributes to people's conception of the internet or its role in our lives?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back in time. I mean, 1969 is when the internet started. You know, most people would trace it to Dr. Leonard Kleinrock at UCLA. And the internet started here in California. You guys, another gift to the world. I love California. And so the first two hubs were between UCLA and Stanford Research Institute. So the first message was sent in 1969, and so today is 2019, and I wanted to do a 50th anniversary of that. We're going to do a series of events, but when people think of the internet, they think of this huge abstract space, but there's actually huge physical infrastructure, data centers, satellites, Wi-Fi networks, all of which are so big and so above the human scale at this point that that sense of abstraction kind of lingers over our society at the moment. And, you know, as a composer, I'm really intrigued by that. I've looked at people like John Cage. I've looked at people like, you know, Afrika Bambaataa's Planet Rock. That's one of my favorite songs. But for classical music, which I also write classical, I wanted to do something that was kind of a mashup. So it's when you hear, say, for example, the sound of that modem, there's a very specific sensibility of time. Like we were talking earlier about like how long it used to take to download a song, like an hour in the 90s. Then you had Napster. Then you had all these other mediums that made more of a human gloss over the data. So, you know, then we get deeper and there's the pieces in three movements.
But your point earlier about the abstract nature of the internet, by hearing the music, I began to appreciate so much more what a powerful and almost pervasive role the internet plays in our lives. And I guess I'd add social media to that. I mean, we're about to have a half hour talking about the controversies surrounding the incident at the Lincoln Memorial and Covington Catholic High School students. And to me, that whole incident feels like one where you have to sift through so much noise and even to some degree digital noise, because so much of this is playing out online.
Yeah, I mean, the tragic, weird thing of that Covington High School kids incident is it the flashpoint, of course, of racial politics and, of course, perception and, of course, social media, all of which are still reflections of the internet. I mean, one could argue the last election was more about computational propaganda and this idea of, you know, Cambridge Analytica doing a series of analysis of people's voting preferences. And, you know, all of those things are still within the realm of the way the internet has shaped society. So as a composer, you play with patterns, you know. So what is a music piece except a lot of patterns overlapping? You have polyphony, you have polyrhythms, all of these things that are grist for the way you would put their structures together. So the internet, there's an architect named Richard Saul Wurman who coined the term information architecture. He also started the TED conference. So I've always thought that, you know, there's been some really fun ways to think about this idea of the dialogue. And even regretfully, that the incident you mentioned, imagine if they had all stepped back and just said, wait a second, why don't we have a dialogue here? If you guys are the black Hebrew Israelites and these kids from an all-boys school or a Native American playing a drum, that's kind of a mashup right there. I would imagine what kind of music that would sound like. Ooh. I'll leave it at that.
Ooh. Well, we're talking with DJ Spooky, also known as Paul Miller, about his newest work, Quantopia, a sonic celebration of the history of the internet. What kind of questions, thoughts, comments do you have for Paul Miller? You can give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. On Facebook, you can tweet us at KQED Forum or email us at forum@kqed.org. He's with us for this half hour only, so now is a good time to call or write in if you would like to talk about your thoughts on the internet, the power of sound. And in addition, Paul Miller, you were talking about how this is a three-act work. Can you describe what the audience that will attend the show at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco tomorrow will be treated to? Because in addition to sort of these electronic elements and DJing, I understand the San Francisco Girls Chorus is involved.
Okay, so music is kind of a structure that I always think of as like patterns. So I worked with a group of mathematicians and scientists. There's Roger Antonsen, who is a pretty, I call him the YouTube math guy. His lectures on YouTube about mathematics and complexity get millions of hits. And he's kind of got these public lectures that are wildly popular online about sort of very complex mathematical phenomena. So I got him to do the backdrops based on quantification of the idea of how the internet is exponentially huge. I mean, if you think about how many devices, billions of devices are connected to the internet, how do you visualize that? Then we worked with Greg Niemeyer from Berkeley University, who's a professor of digital media there. We also had the San Francisco Girls Chorus singing binary code, which is zeros and ones, that essentially was a really powerful kind of thing about what is the underlying structure of code.
Yes.
There's also an opera singer named Eve Orenstein, who we sampled her voice and submixed it with the chorus. So it's very conceptual, but it's very beautiful. There's a lot of composers out there that I think have made room for thinking about minimalism, like Meredith Monk or Steve Reich, who are big influences in my thinking, but then mixing it with hip-hop and electronic music from there.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it now. That's music from Paul Miller's newest work, Quantopia. Paul Miller's also known as DJ Spooky. And in addition to doing Quantopia, he's written music based on Antarctic weather patterns. He's remixed D.W. Griffith's film, Birth of a Nation. And he currently scores Jeremy Scahill's Intercepted political podcast. Talk a little bit about that in terms of working on Intercepted. How do you approach scoring a political podcast?
Podcasts are the new everything.
Yes.
It's incredible how they've absorbed almost all aspects of media. It's kind of like between radio, YouTube channels, and like this idea of sort of media on demand anywhere, anytime. So I wanted to figure out music that would work for giving... Jeremy's, I think, a pretty brilliant thinker about the way politics and surveillance and other kinds of issues, because his coverage of the Iraq War, I thought was really important. His book, Dirty Wars, which was also a documentary, I thought was really incredible. So I've scored films. I've also worked with, we had people like Martin Scorsese back a film project I did recently on the history of African-American cinema. And for me, a movie is kind of like an open palette. Like, you can always come up with these different textures to paint in sound how you would highlight a scene, but so are podcasts. And I put as much detail, attention to detail, into a podcast as I would to a film score. And Jeremy's always got some pretty intense topics on The Intercept. And these days, it just seems like it's a never-ending parade of wild things happening. So
that one could not have foreseen or predicted.
Yeah. So how do you make music for the age of ever-present shock? Yeah.
Well, we've got some calls coming in, and I want to start with Danny in San Francisco. Hi, Danny.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Go ahead.
So I just bought an MPC from Akai the other day, and you can download these expansion packs. And I believe DJ Spooky had made one and that I had downloaded it. I'm maybe getting the name wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was him. And I'd already made a song with it. And I just think it's really interesting that someone in New York can create, you know, these samples that you can put on the internet. And then I'm over here in San Francisco, and having just bought the machine, like, put the samples into the computer, use the computer with the, like, analog machine that I have, and then create a song with it, which I did, and the song sounded great. And so I just wanted to comment about that.
Danny, thanks. That's part of the appeal for you, isn't it, Paul Miller?
Yeah, and for those who are out there who don't know, the MPC is a legendary old-school hip-hop device. Amusingly enough, the first node of the internet was called the IMP, so it stands for Internet Message Processor, and that was by Dr. Leonard Kleinrock at UCLA. And again, there's a very famous film that Werner Herzog did called Lo and Behold, about the history of the internet, where he goes to the room where the first internet hub was. So the MPC is kind of like that for hip-hop. It's like this sort of, you tap on a kind of a series of small pads and make a beat. But, I make elements that I actually will put online as open source material that people can sample. I'm a firm believer in free music, free culture. But there, you know, there's different ways to approach that, and I'm very respectful of people like Lawrence Lessig up at Harvard, who's been doing a series of things about shareware culture. So when the gentleman who just called, I was talking about an MPC, I was like, probably maybe 0.1% of the audience will know what that is. But that was cool to hear that. And yeah, the material that I generated for the concert is all done with software that's more current. So I use, you know, we did data analytics on how much data is going through the internet. We looked at the beginning and, the internet was just two hubs between certain section of California in 1969. And it could barely carry any messages at all. And it kept crashing. So they had to figure out how to compress information to fit in these cables. And you can imagine, like, mathematicians, engineers, scientists, all of them had to work on that. So 2019 is also the 30th anniversary of the web, which is different than the internet. So maybe that could be something we could riff on for a
moment. Sure. Tell me how it's different and why we don't usually make that distinction.
Okay. Imagine if you have a house and you have the structure of the house, the bones, the beams, the bits and pieces that make up the structure. That's the internet. The web is all the stuff that would go over the kind of architecture of it. So Sir Tim Berners-Lee was at CERN in Switzerland, which is a quantum physics research area, and he needed to be able to come up with a way to compress a large amount of information to share between scientists when they were working on their experiments. And so he made up what you call hypertext markup language, HTML.
Yes.
Which now, of course, is made websites. But back then it was meant to be sharing and being able to exchange academic papers quickly. Amusingly enough, if you say that the internet's 50 years old, people are shocked. They're like, what? The internet hasn't been that. But then if you say the web is 30, then that even takes them even into a different space as well. So 50 years ago, 1969, was you had Summer of Love, you know, which was a wild scene here in California, as far as I've heard. We also had people landing on the moon. We had Woodstock. We had all sorts of wild stuff happening. Meanwhile, you had these scientists and major figures here in California working in garages and working in small, quirky spaces in academic forums to come up with this incredible innovation, the internet. And that's what I'm celebrating.
Well, as I listen to you, you are filled with so much information and history about the internet, and I feel compelled to ask how you came up with the name DJ Spooky. Oh. It's just such a professorial quality to what you're sharing in terms of your knowledge of the internet.
Okay. Well, I went to Bowdoin College in Maine. Both my parents were sort of professors. My father was dean of Howard University's law school in the late 60s. And my mother, Rosemary E. Reed Miller, was a historian of design. And she's written books about the history of women's fashion. One was called Threads of Time, 500 Years of Women Designers. So both parents were big inspirations for my thinking about political activism and music. I did one degree in philosophy and the other degree in French literature, all totally useless, but fun. But DJing was a side hobby that kind of took over. You know, it's still fun to add information to music. And to me, music isn't music. It's information. So,
But Spooky was an apt name because...
Yeah, and Spooky was kind of like when you press play and there's nobody there, but all this information floating around. So I just... it was a sense of humor, and I never in my wildest imagination thought I would be DJing this. I've been DJing globally for the last 20 years. I can't believe time is flying. I mean, the 90s until now, 1997... it was when my first album came out, and I've just been going ever since. So,
well, let's hear from more listener Sandra in San Francisco. Hi, Sandra.
Oh, hello. I just wondered how you chose what to sample off of the Internet Archive in this composition, and I'll take my answer off the air. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. And just remind us quickly what the Internet Archive
is. Sure. Brewster Kahle, who
is
also another San Francisco kind of amazing figure here, he started the Internet Archive as a way of preserving the internet over the years, and they came up with a material called the Wayback Machine, which documents the entire internet as we know it. And it's got, I think, millions, if not billions of pages. And they have a whole bunch of supercomputer centers where they've got pretty much every page ever made. And they are one of the backers of the project. So we've been using their material and going through it kind of lyrically, so to speak. And also we work with Hewlett Foundation, which is associated with Hewlett Packard. So and Yerba Buena Center is sponsoring the concert. So, but Internet Archive has so much information that we're like, it's not about one specific web page or JPEG or MP3 or any file that you could imagine, but the gestalt, like the overall sheer volume of data. And we're going to have a conversation about that at Catherine Clark Gallery on Saturday after the concert, about playing with the world of big numbers, making music out of huge amounts of data. So Internet Archive, love their stuff, and they're very committed to open source and freeware as well.
Yeah, so Morgan asks, will DJ Spooky's Sonic Celebration be recorded so people who don't live in San Francisco can experience it?
Yeah, it's going to be an album, and we're probably going to circle back to a couple other versions of it, because it's, of course, the Internet. Why not have remixes and mixes and mashups and, you know. So the first version is going to be at Yerba Buena Center, and then there's going to be other versions that are going to go to museums, galleries, and so on, celebrating a kind of a year-long celebration of 50 years of the Internet. So, yes, there will be an album.
And it's really a celebration, meaning that you see it as an incredibly positive thing?
Yeah, I mean, the Internet, I mean, if you really think about it, our society accelerated once people were able to compare, exchange, and really have a more robust conversation. And that's what democracy is about, in a way. And the Internet's a perfect and eerily uncanny reflection of the sort of chaotic entropy that our society kind of has as its underbelly, you know, because there's the dark side, too, which is that people will abuse anything. And you could have the cleanest, wild, most interesting thing, and somebody will find a way to mess it up and do some crazy stuff with it.
But in some ways, it feels like you're reminding us of the best it can be in human hands. Henry in Santa Clara, join us.
Thank you. DJ Spooky, you are brilliant. I've been listening to your stuff for years. Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you. And I just wanted to throw out a random tidbit that number, logic, space, infinity, and information are somewhat the categories that you can discover in math, as explained by Rudy Rucker, and information is the one that has a little different quality. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
And Celeste wants to know, what do you think of electronic music composed by a robot?
That's kind of the next couple steps here. I mean, artificial intelligence, I think, is going to be a tool not to be feared, but to be useful as a kind of a way of enhancing creativity. And I just want to say thanks to everybody who's been calling in. It's really heartwarming to be here. And these are somewhat dark, cynical times. And I would say music is the anti-wall. It's the open space.
And is that what you hope people get out of the show today?
Yeah, and that we all kind of can compare and contrast information. But yeah, the gentleman who just called about math, that's a universal language too. And math has no walls, you know.
Well, DJ Spooky Paul Miller, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks.
His show Quantopia premieres at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco at 7:30 tomorrow. Stay with us for another half hour of Forum. I'm Mina Kim.